Jesus said to his disciples, his apostles, "No disciple is above his teacher, no slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, for the slave that he become like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of his household? Therefore, do not be afraid of them. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nothing secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we begin a week of study of the prophet Isaiah, the contemporary of Hosea, with whom we have been for the last week. We will have 1 week of Isaiah. We know that each Advent we follow Isaiah throughout that beautiful season. But here it wants us to focus on Isaiah's great call for conversion without necessarily focused on the proximate coming of the Lord and fulfillment of the prophecies. We have this great theophany from the 6th chapter of Isaiah. On Monday we'll have his first chapter. We actually take something later in his book before we get to the beginning, because this is a vocation story. And we see what his immediate reaction was to his vocation. Fear. He was filled with terror. When he saw that great image of God, when he heard the seraphim and the cherubim crying out, as the church does every day until the end of time, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of the army." He said, "Woe is me, I am doomed." Why is he doomed? "From a man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips." People who don't speak of the Lord. People who speak sinfully. People who are sinning here as an outward sign of what's happening on the inside. "And yet as unclean as I am, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." We know what the Lord did. He sent one of the seraphim with this sign of death, charcoal, dead wood that was lit on fire in order to light Isaiah on fire so that he could light God's people on fire. It was a sign of the resurrection. He was being healed. And we know what Isaiah would do thereafter. With those purified lips, he would go out and announce the conversion to which God was calling the people of his day, as well as to foretell the coming of the Messiah. At the very end, when he heard the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send who will go for us?" Now purified in the way that he was, not just of his unclean lips, but of his fear, he said boldly, "Here I am, send me." This fear before the calling of the Lord continues throughout time. When the Lord challenges us to do something that goes outside of the comfortable boxes we would inhabit, there is naturally fear. Jesus says 27 times in the Gospels, "Be not afraid," because fear is a constant. The virtue of courage is not that we have no fear, that we do what we need to despite the fear. So at the end of this week in which Jesus has been first having us pray to the Harvest Master for laborers for his vineyard, and then summoned those laborers from among those who had been praying and gave them instructions about what they were to say, how they were to dress, what their conduct would be when they arrived in a town, how they would leave a town. When he was going through all of that, Jesus wasn't going to duck what he was able to read in the heart of each of the people to whom he was speaking. Fear, especially after what he had said yesterday, that he's sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's like sending somebody innocent into a prison of a whole bunch of people who just haven't roughed somebody up in a while. How could the good shepherd do that to a sheep for whom he would give his life? Wasn't he supposed to protect us? He knew, though, in sending them out, that they would have the capacity to witness to him. That when they were handed over to courts, dragged and scourged in houses of worship, led before governors and kings, betrayed by family members, hated by all because of his name, persecuted, that would give them a chance to give witness. And that's when the Holy Spirit would be able to come into their life and show them precisely, and show through them precisely, that God lives. And that this is a God that is worshipped not just in season, but out of season. And even though by worldly categories they are all but abandoned, in supernatural categories, they would be preaching that the Lord is with them even still. Someone much stronger than fear and death. So after Jesus had said that, he wanted to be clear about how that whole process would conform them to the Lord. Because the preaching of the kingdom wasn't merely supposed to be done with words, wasn't supposed to happen simply by deeds. The proclamation of the kingdom ultimately is supposed to occur by impersonation. We're to become one with the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when we're speaking, it is the Spirit of our Father speaking through us. That in seeing a Christian in a circumstance like this, they should be able to see a little bit of Christ. So Jesus strengthens this image. No disciple is above his teacher, no slave above his master. It's enough for the disciple to become like the teacher, and this is the way that it will happen. If they insulted and even called demonic the master, so they will the disciple. And he says, therefore don't be afraid. If they did this to the master, and the master would rise from the dead. So there's nothing for us to fear, because Jesus will likewise raise us, even if we're killed by the same vices with which he was crucified. So don't be afraid. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. Don't keep it hidden. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftop. You may suffer for it, but that's the way the kingdom will come. He went right to the heart of their fear. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. They can't ultimately harm you. He says, rather fear the one who can throw both body and soul into Gehenna. That doesn't mean the devil. That means God. If you're going to have any fear at all, fear God. But who's this God you're fearing? The God you're fearing cares for you more than many sparrows. This whole expression, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin. Basically, you'd get two sparrows for a lepton, the smallest coin for the Jews. But if you paid two laptop, you would not just get four sparrows, but you'd get a fifth. It was another sparrow thrown on it because they were considered worthless. And when Jesus is using this image, he's talking about that extra sparrow tossed in almost as an afterthought. And even that afterthought sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Father knowing. He says, if God cares for a sparrow like that, how much more will he care for you? In a very consoling passage, he says, even all the hairs of your head are counted. So don't be afraid. And then he finishes. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. So listen, if you acknowledge me, not if you succeed in persuading the multitudes, not if you've become the second coming of St. John Chrysostom. If you acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge you before your Heavenly Father. So don't be afraid. You'll come with me eternally. Just don't be afraid. Today we celebrate St. Kateri Tekakwitha, born in Aurysville, New York. She acknowledged Jesus before others at great suffering. She was orphaned. Her parents died in a smallpox epidemic. So she was raised by her uncle, who was the chief of the Turtle tribe, and two aunts, all three of whom were virulently against the faith being proclaimed by the Black Robes. St. Isaac Joke had died in Orisville a decade before Kateri was born. And many of the Indians thought that the whole smallpox epidemic was some type of either divine or human revenge for allowing the Jesuits in. But she had been touched by faith. And despite sort of tribal reverence for elders, whole sort of familial thing in which she would be expected quite clearly to do what her uncle was telling her to do, she was faithful to the Lord and just needed to follow so fearlessly. She was baptized. She ran away to Kahnawake, just south of Montreal. But for the last 5 years of her life, between 19 and 24, she just simply tried to worship and acknowledge the Lord. She acknowledged him at 4 o'clock in the morning, going out in the snow and kneeling so that she could peer through the window at the tabernacle lamp that would illuminate the Blessed Sacrament. She would acknowledge the Lord in the way that she would try, in a very feminine, humble way, to spread the faith among the other women, to help that faith grow. She would acknowledge the Lord in her mortifications that she needed to overcome things in her flesh that were separating her from the Lord. But she wanted to unite herself to his suffering for her and his crucifixion. Finally, she would unite herself to him in her suffering and death. Because she acknowledged him before others, she was acknowledged by Jesus forever. Not just before the Father, but before the whole church. This girl from a tribe in Aurysville, New York, who died in Aurysville, will never be forgotten. It's an extraordinary example. Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants this transformation from whatever fears we may have to true courage to happen in us. I mentioned 2 years ago, when we had Isaiah 6, that these very words about the charcoal, the priests pray before the proclamation of the gospel of the old rite. We turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, just as you send the seraphim with the burning charcoal to purify the lips of Isaiah, so purify my lips and my heart so that I with fire might proclaim your gospel. The Lord continues to try to give us everything we need in order to be able to acknowledge him before others. And the greatest way we do so is here, just like Kateri Tekakwitha, we recognize that this really is the Lord by our starting every day, acknowledge Him, and in the Eucharist as our Lord and our God, we give our contemporaries the greatest possible help. Today, through her intercession, let us remember that we're valuable, more valuable to the Lord than all the birds in the air. But He sent His Son to show us how much He loves us, and to take away our fear, and to give co-witness with us always to the together of Jesus and Kateri and all the saints. We might have the joy of acknowledging and praising God and His love forever in heaven.